In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. So we continue the second talk on Luisa, the way of living in the divine will, part one. And we are on page two. And now Luisa says, now I shall try to explain the second way. Okay, so again, we're talking in human terms, a divine reality, okay? Now, some people were saying, well, God's not going to do this with me. And God says, you're absolutely right. I can't do it with you. Why? You've already said to God, you're not powerful enough to do this. You can't do this to me. I'm such a great sinner. You can't do this. God says, fine, I can't. See, what the Lord is always looking for is he's looking for docility, surrender, submission. That was Our Lady. When the angel said, you're going to be the mother of God, she says, how can this be? I don't know man. I want to please God in all things. That's implied. But I don't know man. And the angel said, it'll be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And her response is, fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. It's the same thing for this. The second way, if God wants to do this with you, he will. And you say to the Lord, if you want this, so be it. I want what you want, God. It's not what I want, what I think, what I believe. It's what you want, Lord Jesus. It's total surrender, total docility. So she says, now I'll try to explain the second way. Okay, again, she's speaking of a divine reality in human terms that Jesus has in speaking. It is when the soul finds herself outside of herself and sees the person of Jesus Christ. For example, Jesus as a child, Jesus crucified, or any other attitude that the soul sees the Lord pronouncing the words from his mouth and the soul answers from her mouth. So you see what God has got planned. It's now communicating the way we communicate with each other. Sometimes it happens that the soul begins to converse with Jesus in just as two intimate spouses would do. However, the speaking of the Lord is very moderate, just four or five words, or sometimes it even is just one word. Very rarely does it prolong a little bit. But in that very way of little speaking, oh, how much divine light Jesus introduces into the soul. See, as the word of God, Jesus who speaks these words, they're infinite. He says, every word that I speak is a divine life. Why? It will never end. It can't end. Jesus is speaking it. So when he speaks something to us, and this is why when you read the volumes, read it over and over and over again, it's something brand new. Why? Because those words that you have read that Jesus spoke are filled with divine light, divine life, divine love. And as you read them, he's filling you. Every day it's different. Every day it's more beautiful. Every day it's more spectacular. Why? That word is living. And therefore, he wants us to enter into this life, this light, this love of God. Our Lord is so magnificent. He says, but how much light Jesus introduces the soul. I seem to see a little rivulet at first sight, but looking more closely, instead of a rivulet, one sees an immense sea, an immense ocean. This is what God wants us to begin to understand. Once you start reading the book of heaven, you can't stop. Why? Every time you read it, it's more spectacular. Every time you read it, it's filled with words that are infinite. 100 million years from now, those words that Jesus spoke are still living. They're divine light. They can't end. And what he's going to do is he's going to raise us to begin to understand, but we will never fully comprehend our God. We will see him as the holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. He is our Lord. He's our master. He's our king. He's our savior. And the Father says, this is my word. When we hear it from Jesus, he fills us with his Holy Spirit so that we can begin to understand this. And there's no end. For all eternity, we will be, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, in that beatific vision of the awe of God. Awe for all eternity. How beautiful, how holy, how perfect, how loving. And Jesus wants that to begin now. That's why he has given us the book of heaven. He says, such is the one word spoken by Jesus. The divine immensity of the divine light, it leaves the soul, it leaves in the soul is such that in ruminating it thoroughly, the soul discovers so many things, so many sublime and profitable things for her soul as to remain astonished. I remember when we didn't have the book of heaven, when we had a few books. And when they came out of the Vatican, this will be, in 1996, February 2nd, they came out of the Vatican on the Feast of the Presentation. What happened at that point was Jesus says, when I give this book to the world, everything will change. The world will change. The time of Lucifer basically will be over because this is what he's afraid of. And you can see what's happened since 1996. Everything's falling apart. Our family, our friends, our neighbors, even in the Vatican, things are happening. Not to worry. Not to be fearful, not to be anxious, not to be complaining, not to be negative. God is going to win. He's going to win. And what has he done? Every heresy that's ever come against the church is now coming against the church. Every single heresy. It's all hitting the church all at once, all over again, and there's no teaching. So what does Jesus do? As Lord, as Savior, as Master, as King, he says, I'm going to take care of it. I'll give you the book of heaven. I will teach you what to do. Now, what Jesus said, that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all truths and remind you of everything that I've said. Everything that I have said. That's what we find in the book of heaven. You're going to discover so many things. They're sublime and profitable for our souls as to remain astonished. There's no cause for worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. God wins. You got to trust him. That's why divine mercy is so important. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. Jesus, I believe in you. I hope in you. Christian hope and certitude. I am certain that everything's going to be fine with my family, with my friends, with my neighbors, with my coworkers, with my parishioners. Because Jesus said this to Louisa. You do what I want, and that's to enter into this gift, and I'll do what you want. I'm not worried about my family, my friends, my neighbors, my coworkers. I'm not. Jesus says, you do what I want, and I'll do what you want. It's an even swap. No, it's not at all. He's going to do everything. God is going to take care of it. And our confidence in him is essential. Our trust in him is essential. And as you read the book of heaven, every day will be an astonishment. I believe that if all the learned would unite together, they would all remain confounded and mute at one single word of Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? If everybody got together and everybody talked about, they'd remain mute when Jesus spoke one word, and that word is fiat. That's what God's teaching us. Now, this way is more suitable from the human nature and can be easily be manifested because the soul upon entering herself brings with her that which she has heard from the mouth of our Lord and communicates it to the body. It is not so easy when it is through the intellect. Now think about this. When Jesus is speaking to us, everything is peaceful. Everything is joyful. The priest at Holy Mass says, he puts the drop of water in the chalice, a drop of water into the chalice, that nothing into the chalice, and says, may we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. Do you believe that? Do you say, yes, from the bottom of your heart, I want this? not only for me, but for your glory, God, and for the salvation of souls. I want to share in your divinity. Or is it just another word that goes through our minds, and one in one ear and one out the other? God wants us to share in his divinity. This is not about being good and holy and saintly. This is about sharing in divinity. And this is why when people say, well, I'm living in the divine will, sorry. Father Bucci says, those that say that are only fooling themselves. To live in the divine will is to be perfect. To live in the divine will means to say, you don't have to go to confession. Who doesn't have to go to confession? They're only fooling themselves. Our life is to enter into this gift as much as we possibly can. Because Jesus says to Louisa, when I find the souls that want this more than anything, I will give it to the world. When God gives this to the world, Jesus says, the world is going to shudder and shake. That's in the book of Revelation. Some out of fear, because they don't want what God wants. And some out of ecstasy, because they will want what God wants. This is a glorious time to be alive. It's a marvelous time to be alive. So Jesus says, Louisa says, it is not easy when it is through the intellect. Intellect, our minds are so complicated. Our minds are so, God is simple. God, this whole book of the divine will, Jesus says, is for the children. Louisa had a first grade education, period. That was it. God gave it to her. Simple souls are not complicated. Human mind is complicated. And I've heard so many people talk about the divine will, and they go, I don't understand it. Well, because you're not reading what Jesus said. Jesus, his words are so powerful. He is talking. He is leading. He is guiding. So Jesus, Louisa says this, to me, I think that Jesus has this way of speaking in order to adapt himself to the human nature. Do you see what he's doing? He's talking to children. It is not what he needs, that he needs the word in order to make himself understood. But in this way, the soul understands more easily, and the soul can manifest it to the confessor. Who do you speak to? Your confessor. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. Jesus is teaching us how to live this gift. And when we can't listen to him, there's something blocking it. And usually it's worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Who do you go to be freed of it? Your confessor. How do you be freed of any hooks of Lucifer? It's going to confession and make a good confession. Jesus knows us very, very well. We don't know ourselves at all. That's why when the illumination of conscience comes, and as a matter of fact, we're going to talk about the illumination of conscience on February 22nd. Part two of this will be on February 8th. This illumination, wait till you hear what the illumination is. God, Jesus is, he's ready. He's ready to bring this about. Okay. So when you read and when you study, you go to your confessor, not for consultation. There's three things that you do when you go to confession. There's the three B's. Be blunt, be brief, be gone. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I'm sorry. I don't want to live like this. Be blunt, be brief, be gone. It's not, if you want to be consoled, if you want to be counseled, make an appointment with the priest. It's not for the confessional. The confessional should be a confessional line. So people can get in, go to confession and be freed of their sins. So Jesus shows us this very, very clearly. In sum, Jesus acts like a most knowledgeable, the wisest, the most intelligent teacher who professes all the sciences to the highest degree, and no one can equal him. That's what you find in the Book of Heaven. But since he finds himself amid disciples who have not yet learned the first syllables of the alphabet, keeping all of the other studies within himself, he teaches the ABCs to his disciples. That's what Jesus did for the first 2,000 years. Now he has found Louisa, the firstborn, the newborn. And she is the one who possesses this gift. And when you read the three appeals, the second person who will receive the fullness of this gift will be the Holy Father. This is great. Who has the keys to the kingdom? The Holy Father. He is going to open the doors to the kingdom with this gift of the divine will. And there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. That's what's coming. Read the last chapter of volume 24. Very powerful. And it's soon. It's not 1,000 years from now. Our Lady already said this to Bruno. Our Lady said this to Father Gobi. She says, get ready for the return of my son. Get ready for the what Our Lady, and all through her apparitions, get ready for the return of my son. The kingdom is coming. Again, we have to understand what Jesus is asking. So he's saying, Louisa says, oh, how good Jesus is. He adapts himself to the learned and speaks to them in a very high manner in such a way that in order to understand him, they have to study well what he tells them. He adapts himself to the ignorant. That's us. Pretending to be he himself a little bit ignorant, and he speaks in a low manner in such a way that no one may retain on an empty stomach from the lessons of this divine teacher. No one is going to remain with an empty stomach. He's going to feed you. Our Lord is going to, remember, he was born in the manger. The bread of Bethlehem. He laid in a manger, manja. He wants us to understand that he is going to feed us. And he feeds us now with the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. And for 15 minutes, we're in communion with God until the host dissolves. We're with him in a mystical way. What God has got planned is for us to enter in a perennial communion with him. The perennial communion that Adam had with God. He walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. That's the first bread. That's what Jesus talks about, the bread of the divine will. We have the third bread, which is our wonder bread, which we eat. But the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist is to prepare the world for the perennial communion with God, never to be separated from God, not just for 15 minutes until the host dissolves, where we're in communion, but a perennial communion with him. Our God loves us so much. He says this. He speaks in a low manner in such a way that no one remain on empty stomach from the lessons. Now, the third way in which Jesus speaks to me is when in speaking, he communicates its very substance to the soul. It seems to me that when the Lord created the world, at one word, things were created in the same way. Jesus speaking in the same way, since his word is creative, and the very act in which he pronounces the word Jesus creates in the soul the very thing that he is saying. That's what you're going to get out of the Book of Heaven. As you read the Book of Heaven, as you study the Book of Heaven, as you learn these truths, these infinite truths, as you listen to the promises of Jesus every day that he reads to us, that he speaks to us, he says, he creates that which he says, the very thing which he says, in the soul. That's what he's doing. This is why the little children of the Holy Divine Will who read the Book of Heaven are so happy. Jesus is speaking to them every day. When you go to your room, close the door, and pray as Jesus commanded, what he has given us is the Book of Heaven. And the sacred scriptures become alive. Your breviary becomes alive. What the saints have said come alive. Why? Jesus is showing what he has planned and what is going to happen and how it's going to happen. And what we're reading now is the way of living in the divine will. This is a glorious time to be alive. Okay, so he says, he creates in the soul the very thing that Jesus is speaking. As for example, Jesus says to the soul, see how beautiful things are. For example, my mother loved fall. She would say, everything is so alive. It's so colorful. It's so beautiful. And I'd look at her and go, everything's dying. You know, how can you say this is beautiful? And after she died, I said to Jesus, I want to know what she saw. I want to understand the beauty that she sees. And this is what Jesus does. See how beautiful things are. Everything becomes alive. Everything becomes beautiful. The snow is beautiful. The rain is beautiful. The fall is beautiful. The spring is beautiful. The summer is beautiful. Why? God has made it, and he lets us enter into it. And each and every one of us, and you'll see this later, but each and every one of us can enter into the Garden of Eden. Remember when in volume 26, Louisa says she went out into the garden. This is at St. Anthony's Church, St. Anthony's Orphanage. Went to the garden, and Jesus says, this garden is a simile of Eden. He says, it's not as beautiful and flowery as Eden, but it's a simile. And it's the same thing for us. Each and every one of us should have a place outside where we can just wander. And each step that we take, we see in paradise, everything is an I love you. Nothing is dead. Nothing is inanimate. Everything is alive. And when you walk outside, wherever you are, spring, summer, fall, winter, wherever you are, what happens at that point is you enter into creation the way God has created. You begin to see things from a divine perspective. May we share in the divinity of Christ. He says in volume 36, I've given you your senses so that you'll begin to see and hear and smell and taste all the I love yous around you. I want you to enter into this with your, I gave you your senses so that God can reign. As Catholics, we see Jesus in the monstrance. We see God. We see Jesus Christ. As Catholics, when the gospel is proclaimed, we hear Jesus. When the incense is used, we smell the odor of sanctity. When we hold hands, in prayer, not during the Our Father during Mass, but when we hold hands in prayer, he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. We experience the love of God. When we receive Jesus, we taste God. As Catholics, we're already beginning to use our senses the way God gave to Adam, from a divine perspective, not a human perspective. And our Lord is asking us, will you enter into this life that I have prepared for you? So this is what she's saying. She said, how beautiful things are. As much as your eye may run over the earth and the heavens, you will never find a beauty similar to me. At this speaking of Jesus, the soul feels certain something that the divine father, something divine enter into herself. The soul remains so drawn toward this divine beauty that at the same time she loses the attraction for all other things. This is glorious. Everything else becomes nothing. Everything else becomes nothing. God becomes our focus. As we focus on Jesus, the I love yous of creation, the I love yous of every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, the I love yous of the grains of sand, the I love yous of every breath that you take in, you begin to enter into this beauty of God. It's not to continue to live the miserable human will, but to enter into God's holy divine will so that you begin to see, hear, smell, taste, and touch God all around you. Heaven, when you get to heaven, everything's going to say to you, I love you. That's in paradise. Everything speaks the word of God. I love you. You experience it. You feel it in your heart, your mind, your soul. Jesus wants us to enter into this divine I love you now. That's why he says, look around you. See the beauty that's around you. He says, everything else, he says, will be meaningless to you. The things that people love on earth will disappear. If you have a love of chocolate, it's gone. Yeah, the addictions will all disappear. We will enter into this life of God, this love of God, this light of God that he wants us to possess. As beautiful and as precious that the things on earth might be, they make no impression on the soul any longer. What remains fixed in the soul and almost transmuted into herself is the divine beauty of Jesus. Of the divine beauty she thinks. With that divine beauty she feels invested. With that divine beauty she is so enamored that if the Lord did not operate another miracle, her heart would crack out of pure love for the divine beauty of Jesus. The soul would breathe her last and fly into heaven and delight in the beauty of Jesus. That's what's coming. Do you see why Jesus has given us the book of heaven? Everything's going to change. It's not going to be the way the saints saw things. It's going to be the way that Jesus sees things, the way Jesus and Mary gave this to Louisa. It's a new beginning for the world, and he's given us the book of heaven. The fourth way in which Jesus speaks to me is when I find myself inside myself, that is in the natural state, and this also happens in two ways. The first, while being inside myself, recollected in the interior of my heart without articulation of voice or sound to the ear of the body, Jesus speaks interiorly. You're going to experience all these ways. Don't say you're not going to, because then you can't. You've already denied God. Oh, it's not going to happen to me. You know, no, it can't happen to me. God says, fine, it can't happen to you. See, the fiat is what God is looking for. You say to God, whatever you want, I want. You want this, I want this. I don't know what it means. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I want what you want, Lord. The second is just like we do it. Sometimes this happens even when I'm distracted or speaking with other people, but one alone of these words is enough to recollect me if I am distracted, or give me peace if I am disturbed, or to console me when I am afflicted. Every word that you begin to read in the book of heaven gives you peace, joy, and happiness. Jesus says that. I want to give you my joy so that your joy may be complete. Our Lord has great plans. We're in them. And all that he asks is, let me show you what I'm going to do. And when we say, yes, Lord, let it be accomplished as you will. Watch what God does. Volume 4, 1120, 1900. My beloved, Jesus, since you must live from my heart. Excuse me. My beloved Louisa, since you must live from my divine heart, it is appropriate for you to undertake a more perfect way of living in the divine will. Therefore, from you I want. Now, Jesus wants this from us because we're reading it. This is what he gave to Louisa. Louisa put down on paper for us. She lives in it. And Jesus says, I want you to live a more perfect way. This is what I want from you. Okay, now Jesus is saying this. I want perfect conformity to my most holy divine will. Okay, so that's the first thing. This has to become your life. This has to become reading, studying, and putting into practice your doctorate. Because you shall only be able to love me perfectly if you love me with my most holy divine will. So Jesus says, I want to be loved not humanly anymore. Human love is fickle. I'm God. I'm the Lord. I'm your Savior. I'm your Master. And he says, I want you to love me the way I love my Father, the way the Father loves me. He says, because you shall only be able to love me perfectly, perfectly, if you love me with my own divine will. By loving me with my own divine will, you shall arrive at loving me and your neighbor by the same way of loving that Jesus loves. Second is profound humility. Place in your, again, humility, you have to be humiliated to have humility. Humility is necessary. You have to be like Our Lady, but you have to be in your family. Most of us are going through this, family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, parishioners, be rejected, misunderstood, abandoned, spit upon, laughed at, ridiculed. You wear a scapular? What's wrong with you? You go to confession? You go to a priest to go to confession? You go to Holy Mass? What are you doing? You read sacred scripture? What's going on? You read the book of heaven? You got to be ridiculed. If you're not ridiculed, you won't be humiliated. you got to be humiliated to have humility. Placing yourself in front of me and of the creatures as the last among all. So, you know, you have joy, Jesus, others, and yourself. You're last. Jesus is first. Others are second. Yourself is last. Purity. Now, this is very essential because this goes hand in hand what Our Lady of America said. She said, the children of America will bring purity to the world. This is the pure life of Jesus, the pure life of Mary. Purity in everything. Because any slightest fault against purity, both in loving and in operating, is reflected all in the heart and it remains stained. God wants to purify us. He says, this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies is everything. And he says, if I don't purify the world and the church, he says, the church and the world won't be able to have the divine will. So this is what we're going through with our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, the church, the Vatican. Everything's being purified. Good. Good. Don't complain. All of us have to be purified. We have to be wrinkle-free. Our gown, our wedding garment has to be perfect. So that's what God is working on. How glorious is our God? That he is perfecting us through purity. He says, I want purity to be like the dew upon the flower rising from the sun and its rays reflected upon them, transmuting those little drops into as many precious pearls, such as to enchant the people. He's going to enchant us. In the same way, if all your works, all your thoughts, all your words, all your heartbeats, all your affections, all your desires, and all your inclinations are adorned with a celestial dew of purity, you will weave a sweet enchantment, not only for the human eye, but for all of heaven, for the whole of heaven. The fourth is obedience. Adam was disobedient. Adam was unfaithful. And if we can't be obedient to Christ and his church, you can't have the gift. I'm sorry. It's not to, you know, pick and choose what you want to believe. It's that docility, that humility, that surrender has to be there in order to give your fiat. You can't give a fiat with stubbornness. You can't give a fiat with being hard-hearted and miserable. No, it doesn't work. Docility, surrender, submission. To be like Our Lady. He says, that must be connected with my divine will, because if this virtue regards superiors I have given you on earth, so this is docility to your superiors, your confessor. That's your superior. My divine will is obedience that regards me directly. So much so that it can be said that both one and the other are of the virtues of obedience. Jesus says, not my will, Heavenly Father, but your will be done. When you read the hours of the Passion, Jesus said, Father, take this cup from me. It wasn't because he was afraid of suffering. He saw that the flesh that was ripped off his body were human souls that will never be with him anymore. And he says, I can't take this. Take this cup of suffering away from me. It's not that Jesus was afraid, but he saw that souls would reject him. Souls would say, I don't want what you want from me. Jesus says very, very clearly, with this difference alone, one regards God, the other regards men. However, both of them have the same value. Okay, Jesus is showing us that obedience to your superior is important. That's not against faith and morals, though. But one cannot be without the other. Therefore, you must love both one and the other in the same way. So obedience is necessary to live in the divine will. True obedience is to be like Christ. True obedience is to be like the Blessed Mother. True obedience is what Luisa learned. Now, from now on, now this is Jesus' command. Luisa, from now on, and he says to us, you who are linked to Luisa, from now on, you shall live with my heart, my sacred heart, and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Jesus says, when I talk about myself, I'm always talking about my mother as well. You must see things the way my sacred heart, my mother's Immaculate Heart sees things. That I, God, and my Blessed Mother may find my and her satisfactions in you. Cut that out. Tape that to your mirror. From now on, today, see, every morning when you do your prevenient act, you start today. Today, I'm going to be obedient, faithful to what you, Jesus, want me to do in the most holy divine will. I will live in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. I want what you taught Luisa. I want to live this life that you gave Luisa. See, if you're a Franciscan, you follow the rules of Francis. If you're a Benedictine, you follow the rules of Benedict. If you are a Dominican, you follow the rules of Dominic, or anybody like that. What Jesus wants you to begin to understand is he, the Lord God Almighty, is teaching us how to obey him. He's put it down on paper. Operating. Thank you very much. Operating. Okay. So let's go next. Know that from now on, you will live with my sacred heart and my mother's most immaculate heart. You must see the things the way my sacred heart and my mother's immaculate heart sees things, that I may find my satisfactions in you. Therefore, be careful. This is no longer your heart, but my heart. It is no longer your heart, but my mother's heart. You're beginning to live the life that I have planned for you from the beginning of time. I chose you. I predestined you to live at this time so that you will have the book of heaven to begin to live not a good life, not a holy life, not a saintly life as the saints did, but you, that's where you begin, but that's not the end. I want you to live a sanctified life. This is why I created Adam, that Adam can be living in my image and likeness. That's what's coming. Volume 5, 10:27, 1903. My daughter, to accept mortification, to accept sufferings as penance, as chastisement is praiseworthy, if it is good, but has no connection with the divine way. Now he's going to teach you something. This is what we've learned from the saints. Mortification, sufferings, penances. He says, it has no connection with a divine way. It's a saintly way. It's a good way. It's a holy way, but not to divine, the way of operating. He says, in fact, I, God, did much. I, God, suffered much. But the way I, God, had in all of this was only love for the Father and for mankind. That's the only reason he did it, for the love of the Father and all of mankind. So it shows immediately, whenever a creature has the way of operating and suffering in a divine manner, it is love alone that pushes her to do it, love alone that pushes her to suffer. That's what God is asking us to do in the divine will. Now, all of us are suffering, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, to a greater or lesser degree than the person next to us. All of us are suffering. What do we do with that suffering? Jesus is going to show us how he did it. And that's what he taught Luisa. And that's what Our Lady lived, Jesus lived, and that's what they taught Luisa, how to live in the divine will through this suffering that they have. He says, to do this in a divine manner. It is love alone that pushes the soul to do it and to suffer. If she has other ways, good as they may be, they are always the way of creatures, of saintlies, of a saintly way, a good way, a holy way. And therefore, she shall find in them the merit that a creature can acquire, not the merit that a creator can require. You see what God is doing? Because there is no union of ways. So we want to have this unity with the divine will. But if she has my divine way, Jesus says, the fire of divine love, this is from heaven, shall destroy any disparity and inequality between God and man, and shall form one single thing between my God's divine work and that of the soul, and that of the creature. So think about this. Let's look at the suffering that you're going through right now, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional. How are you suffering? Saintly way, good way, holy way? God says you'll get the reward of a creature. But in the divine will, you begin to suffer the way Jesus suffered. Why? For the glory of God and the salvation of souls. Okay, and he says, and this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for souls to go to that next step, not just doing the will of God like the saints, but living in the divine will as Jesus and Mary did. And that's what he's asking of us. Volume 7, 1, 3, 1906. My daughter, how necessary it is that the soul be constant in doing the good that she has started. Read, keep on reading. In fact, though she has a beginning, there she shall have no end. And not having an end, it is necessary that she conform to the divine ways of the eternal God. May we share in the divinity of Christ. God is just. God is holy. God is merciful. God is the one who contains everything. But perhaps only for a day? No. Always. In the same way, the soul, who basically what God gave to Louisa, and those who want to link themselves to Louisa, must not be patient, humble, and obedient one day, and impatient, proud, and capricious another. These are broken virtues. It is like mixing black and white, light and darkness. Everything is disorder. Everything is confusion. The ways that are completely dissimilar to God, her creator. Do you see what God is doing? He's saying, you've learned the ways of the saints. You've learned the ABCs of doing the will of God. Now I want you to begin to live in the will of God, to become one with God, fused with God, to be in God's image and likeness. That's what's coming back. We're going back to our origin. On the other hand, for a constant soul, everything is peace. Mere constancy itself already keeps everything in its place. Passions already feel they are dying. And who is the one who, nearing death, thinks about waging war against anyone? Constancy is the sword that puts everything to flight. It is the chain that binds all virtues in such a way as to feel caressed by them continuously. The fire of purgatory shall have no work to do in that soul because constancy has ordered everything. Constancy has made the divine ways of the soul similar to those of the divine ways of God. Do you see what God is bringing us? This is why this is a glorious time. Don't worry about anything. God is in charge. The kingdom is coming. Volume 8, 2-8-1908. Lord, keep me always clasped to you, for I am too little. And again, that's true humility. If you do not keep me clasped to yourself because I am little, I might get lost. And Jesus says, Louisa, I want to teach you the way you must be with me. First, you must enter into me. Write that down. We must enter into Jesus. Jesus has entered us into us at Holy Communion. Now you must enter into me. Transform yourself in me. Take what you find in me. In, with, through, and for Jesus. It's got to be everything. Second, once you have filled yourself completely with God, with me, Jesus, go out and operate together with me as if you and I were one single thing in such a way that if I, God, move, you move as well. If I, God, think, you think of the same thing of which I am. He uses his name there. thinking. I am. Think the way I am is thinking. In sum, whatever you do, do it as well. Third, with these acts that we have done together with Jesus. It's no longer, what am I going to do today? Jesus, what are we going to do today? Jesus, what are we going to have for lunch? Jesus, where do you want to go? Where do you want me to sit in church? Get into a conversation with God. You're going to have fun. You're going to go sit here. I never sit here. Let Jesus be the Lord. Watch what happens. Third, with these acts they have done together, move away from me for one instant and go into the midst of creatures, giving to all and to each one everything we have done together. It is giving my divine life to each soul. Then quickly returning to me to give me, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, all the glory, all the praise, all the love that they should give me, praying, excusing them, repairing, loving. This is what Jesus and Mary did. Yes, love me for everyone, past, present, and future. Satiate me with your love. So we'll end there, and I think we're going to have lunch now, and we'll be back at 1 o'clock. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.